My first marriage broke my soul through her adultery, but it also broke me free from my love of the world and my powerless form of crossless Christianity. My second marriage broke my heart through her apostasy, but it also taught me to love even more like Jesus and to trust God even when everything I thought God promised ended in spiritual death. My third marriage is teaching me that just when I think I've seen God's biggest blessings, His greatest miracles, His best redemption, His most amazing providences, or His highest love, I am absolutely wrong. This is the real-time story of how God granted me the grace to love again, to trust Him one more time for that wife of noble character, and the incredible ways He has walked us into nothing short of a Job 42:10 blessing. It's 10:56 on April 14th, 2021. This is not good news. This is another very surprise attack against my hope and faith in God about my wife, either from my own flesh or from Satan. I find it very, very surprising and yet not. But last night I did a 2-hour Skype call with a sister in another country. She's been following the ministry for many years. In fact, I had apparently sent her a recording all the way back when I was living in India with Persis in 2016. About a terrible marriage situation she was going through. And she has continued to follow the ministry even after she had to divorce her husband for infidelity and abuse and all that kind of stuff. And she, years later, popped up out of nowhere and sent a testimonial video to let me know how much the ministry has blessed her, which was just really quite wonderful. I was really excited to see that. Then I had a few connections with her via email and discovered after I shut the ministry down that she had a very serious faith, and she was more than what she just looked like on the outside. She's quite attractive on the outside, and I think I perhaps misjudged her a little bit. Not terribly, but I think I perhaps misjudged about how serious she may or may not have been about her walk with God, or how serious she may or may have been not have been about following the ministry. But anyhow, I saw this incredible faith of hers, and she, God used her to really, really bless me at a time when I was not doing so well. And her emails came in and they just were so encouraging, that she was so in faith with me about Persis coming back and the ministry coming back, that I was going to have a resurrection, and she knows I hear from God, and this can't be that it's ending like this. It was incredible. And so we just exchanged a few emails back and forth, and suddenly it was made known to me that it takes her a very, very long time to reply via email. Like, she struggles with finding the right words, and it's very difficult for her, and it takes a lot of time. It's exactly the same challenge that my son has. I almost have to help him come up with his text messages because he doesn't know what to say. It's very interesting. I obviously don't have that problem, and so I can't identify with it, but apparently she has the same problem. So I said, well, why don't you do a voice recording to me? Or if you want, maybe we could try Skype. Well, I don't really do that. I've only done this with a few people, and I don't know why I even felt to do it. And I don't even think that I felt that she would really take me up on it, but I just thought, well, that's the only other way I know to communicate. And it's happening at a time when I've been isolated from almost all of my friends and everybody. And so there's this sense of me kind of coming out a little bit of isolation to kind of open back up to some fellowship. And I trust this woman. And so I thought, you know what? I mean, after I saw the way she stood in faith with me, I thought, man, this is incredible. So I thought, this lady, you know, she's very, very deserving of, you know, my time in this way. And so I felt for sure that I should offer that. And she took me up on it and said, oh yeah, that'd be great. Let's do that. And I said, you know, I think I feel like you could be my friend. I said, I trust you. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. I've been praying for a friend, you know, for friends and for stuff like that. And so I did this call with her, and I felt so confident all day long, not worried at all that I'm having a Skype call with, you know, somebody that's opposite sex and somebody who actually is very attractive and somebody who really loves Jesus. And so, but there was no fear at all, no concern, no issues at all. In fact, I was able to just go through my whole day without thinking much about it. And then I get to the part where actually what happened is, yeah, we do the call and it all goes really fine. And she said she was very nervous, you know, talking to me because, you know, you've been listening to this guy for years and suddenly here he is on your computer screen. I know that no matter how much I try to explain, I'm just normal. That's not surprising that that's a unusual situation for the person. But, you know, it was kind of weird for me to see some of these people that had been following, you know, when they sent me the testimonial videos, and I've seen their comments and they replied to emails and stuff, and then to see them, it is kind of a little bit weird. It's like, wow, they're a real person. So anyhow, we had a really, really good, long, solid, I mean, before I knew it, 2 hours went by, I hadn't even paid attention, and I knew, I was like, oh, we should probably wrap this up. But we talked, got to know more about her story, and got to encourage her, and I prayed for her, for her husband. I prayed specifically for her husband to come back. She's believed for 11 years he's going to come back prodigal, and I've prayed for her daughter, and I prayed for her back, and I prayed for God to give her guidance regarding her job, and so forth and so on. I just really felt such peace in the whole thing. This is what's so important, is I felt such peace the whole day coming up to the call, even though I don't do this very often, so I'm automatically nervous about doing this with somebody, whether it's a male or a female, I'm always a little bit nervous about it because I just, this is not really my main calling. So I just had peace, and I had such wonderful peace. By the time we get to the end of the call, and after I've prayed, I just have this amazing peace. There, then I felt at the very end of the call, I felt something a little bit weird happened. And I don't know, because I don't do this very often, if it was just the weirdness of, oh, you've been having this great conversation and now you have to end it, or if it was weirder than that, where there was a sense that maybe we didn't want to end the call, but I was doing it and I felt it was kind of necessary to do so. I couldn't tell, but I almost felt like I saw that in her too, that there was a little bit of a weirdness there. And that kind of struck me as the first unusual thing that I felt would be like, uh-oh. So, but everything was fine. And I sent her one more email to tell her about some words from Samuel Rutherford, which I had quoted to her I told her about in the message the time we were on the call. And then everything was fine. I went to sleep like I normally do. And to my shock, and this is where it gets really embarrassing and bizarre and weird, is I have a dream about her. I was absolutely fine. Nothing is going wrong. I this is one of those things where I'm just like, God, it's like the suffering that I face of trying to help somebody. It's like it never fails. And I'm not complaining against God. This is just, I'm always dedicated to being authentic. This is exactly what is happening to me. And, you know, we both talked and declared faith for our spouses and faith for Persis. And I've said, you know, look, I just put a video out today that says, if my wife doesn't come back, I'm finished. That I have not heard God correctly. And I'm an idiot. The video came out that day. And one other fact that's interesting is that the recording that came out in the Trusting God, or I'm sorry, the I Will Come Forth as Gold series that came out the same day, that morning that I had a conversation with her. The morning of the day I had a conversation with her just yesterday. In the recording, it mentions about being tempted again. And I cut out a lot about it. But unfortunately, and of course, this recording is just over a month old. And it was just a moment where I had those tempting feelings towards this exact sister. And it was regarding something that she had said or done, or I don't remember what it was, but it was just those thoughts that had come to me And so here it was a month later, I was totally fine. It was just one of those things in the moment. And, you know, it was, things were just totally different, and it was fine. Everything was copacetic. And so I didn't have any problems. And I had even boasted, praise the Lord, I haven't been tempted towards either of the, there's only been two sisters that I've really been kind of had any temptation towards. And this third one is, she's the third one. And so nonetheless, it was just a quick couple of thoughts in my head, you know, a month ago, and with God's help, they went away and everything was fine. And I know that they'll be fine again in this moment, but nevertheless, this is what I'm having to go through. And so I have this dream, and it's not a woman, it is her. And I'm with her in her house in New Zealand, as best as I can tell. And it's like, it's a dream about basically her and I starting to have these kind of romantic desires for one another, even though we know in the dream, like, you know, we're supposed to just be being brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will, and we both are still waiting for our spouses and hoping and believing God. And nonetheless, in this dream, I began to express this desire for affection with her. And to, the next thing I know, it's, there's nothing, you know, X-rated in the dream, praise the Lord, all of that. It's just this very kind of, I hate to describe it. It's like this kind of humbled, kind of needy tenderness. And there is this, there's this scene in the dream where she's like sitting sideways, you know, she's sitting on a couch and I'm sitting sideways to her, like facing her very close, and kind of almost like without her permission, I kind of just grab onto her, not like violently, but I just kind of grab onto her and I snuggle to her, and I just like put my head in her shoulder and wrap my arms around her and snuggle into her in the dream. And, you know, she's beginning to kind of reciprocate. And there's no need to say anything else about it, but it's this like kind of snuggly, romantic, soft, needy dream that happens. And I wake up and I'm like, oh no, no, Lord, please. And, you know, look at this. I went to bed. I was fine. I served my sister in Christ. I was fine. I kept everything above reproach, but with the grace of God, I had prayed and God kept me. And then this dream happens. And now what happens is the dream like sticks to you. And so all morning long, I've been thinking about this and going, God, what is this, Lord? Oh, Lord, what is this? And I think to myself, I'm 10 days away before the date that I'm hoping and praying and believing as like a last ditch effort that my wife is going to wake up from the dead and come back. And, you know, this sister, unfortunately, has turned out to be a lot more, it looks like, I could be completely wrong. I'm certainly not her type, and that's probably my saving. She was married apparently to like an Incredible Hulk, some big giant behemoth of a guy, and I'm definitely not that at all. So I think that that's my, perhaps the mercy of God to me that, you know, she would certainly most not be attracted to somebody like me. I mean, the guy that she was married to weighs 55 pounds more than I do. I mean, he must have been a behemoth. And he's in the gym all the time. And he's one of those guys that I say is just going to be more fuel for the fire. But I could see why. I mean, she's a very pretty girl and they've known each other since they were like 16 years old, and so I'm sure he was the jock, the big handsome muscle guy, and she even said that he was her idol. He was like her god, you know, for a long time. So, nonetheless, so this woman, her personality does not match what she looks like on the outside. I would never be attracted to her based on the outside, typically because of what I would know the reflection is on the inside. And she's different. She's really different. And she never fit in. So I look at these things and I'm going, oh, Lord God. And she's got incredible faith and she loves the Lord and wants to talk about him. all the time, and then everything was fine. And now I have this dream, and it's like, oh God, help me. So I've had to come out here today and say, Lord, please. My first thoughts were, okay, great. Now I'm going to have to cut her off, you know, and I'm just not going to be able to talk to her, and don't want to put myself in that situation. And I go, wow, that's so not like the Lord blessed the conversation last night. Truly, I believe that God really blessed it. And not only that, but I never saw any 919s. I never saw anything. I was watching for it. If God was telling me, don't do this, don't go there. And I trusted this woman, and I still do trust her. This is all a problem I'm having, not a problem she's having. I guarantee you, she didn't wake up having a dream and having the same, you know, struggles that I am. She just sees me as Brother Michael, like everybody else does, and all that kind of stuff. So she's not the one, you know, struggling so much for, well, I mean, I guess she kind of is in a way, but not as much as probably I am. I think I have the more exorbitant desire in that way for my wife to come back, type of thing. So, nonetheless, this is painful. And so I've had to come out immediately. Tyler and I just watched the two new episodes that came out yesterday from The Chosen, the Jesus series, episode 2. And then I wanted to come out and pray, and I wanted to record this really and get this out, that this is what I'm facing, and it's happening 10 days before the date of, it happened exactly 10 days previous to the day Persis left. This was the 13th yesterday. Persis left on the 23rd, so it's 10 days until the 1-year anniversary. And I thought of Revelation 2:10 this morning. You know, be faithful even to the point of death. It says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Satan will put you in prison for 10 days to test you. I'm not saying that that's a direct link to what I'm facing right now, but it does feel like, okay, this is maybe one of those last minute temptations where, again, this is for me to suffer, not for her. I guarantee you, if I were to send her an email, she'd go, oh, this is really weird. Michael, I have no feelings towards you that way at all. I have no struggles with that at all. I practically guarantee that would be the case, that she just sees me, again, like everybody else does, as Brother Michael. But for me, God is using it. He's allowing me to be tempted. And, you know, I start having those thoughts like, oh God, what about all those times you showed me New Zealand, and Persis clearly said she was not going to go with me because, you know, the New Zealand is the thing that really brought up the fact that, you know, we're not going, and I mean that she's not coming with me and all of that, and how I often said I would love to move to New Zealand. It's just crazy. So it's just bizarre. You know, you have these thoughts like, you know, I just watched this documentary about all the people who thought Judgment Day was coming on May 21st of 2011. People sold their houses, they quit their jobs, they spent every dollar of their money. They were absolutely convinced that the end of the world was coming on May 21st, 2011. And there's a whole documentary about it. And that day came and went and nothing changed. And it absolutely ruined some people's faith, some people's life, everything. And you know, I'm sitting there, you can't help but think like, this sister has been sitting here waiting for 11 years. And I'm wanting to believe with her and have the faith with her. I mean, I personally find it hard to believe based on some of the stories that she's told me. And this guy's had multiple women and girlfriends, and he's got, you know, a one girl pregnant, and she's got, you know, a teenage daughter from this because they've been apart for so long. And I look at this and, you know, like for me, if I found out Persis had been with somebody else, for me, I know that it would be an absolute deal breaker. I don't even know how this other sister could consider something like that, but I guess if God gave me the grace, it'd be a different story. But for me, it would be, I've told the Lord, this is a deal breaker. Yeah, this whole thing is just really weird. Very, very bizarre. It's 11:16. Need to look that up and see. Michael commentary. So if you've listened to the I Will Come Forth as Gold series, particularly as you got towards the end of the series, you'll hear this incredible phenomena that begins to happen multiple times where I'll be in the middle of making a journal recording, 45 minutes into the trail, and suddenly as I'm talking about a specific subject, my phone will light up. And I'll make note of the scripture. And oftentimes it's been the exact scripture I just quoted. Perhaps it's a Romans 8:18, or perhaps I'm struggling about what to do next. And I see an 8:48, go in peace, your faith has delivered you. Sometimes it was a scripture that I didn't yet know. And then you hear in a follow-up recording, oh my goodness, God showed me this. For example, you hear the time I'm praying for a 7:15, God just showed me a 7:15. And then just weeks later, when it's getting closer and closer for the time for God to tell me to go ahead and let go of her and embrace the teaching and the liberty that's available to us in 1 Corinthians 7:15 about the unbelieving spouse no longer being willing to live, let them depart. The believing spouse who's not at fault is no longer bound in that marriage. And so you'll hear my phone just lights up at 7:15. Okay, this doesn't just happen once. If you listen to the series, you will hear it happen dozens of times. I'm out there all alone. Like I say, 45 minutes, an hour in, my phone hasn't lit up the first time. And there it is. It lights up with the exact scripture. Again, brothers and sisters, we're talking about God here. We're talking about the same kind of experience I had, as difficult as it is for people to believe. You rewind the clock all the way back to 2009 before I go to the rainforest in Panama, Central America, and God begins to show me the number 666, which ultimately ends up being seen over 150 times. Each time is a prophetic sign of a strike that's coming to keep me from falling down, to keep me from falling into despair or being caught off guard. You think of Paul, where he says in the book of Acts, I only know that in every city, and he went to a number of them, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and beatings await me. So here we see God speaking literally. And in this instance, you've just heard me. Again, this isn't just happening once, twice, a dozen times. You will hear, if you take the time patiently to go through I Will Come Forth as Gold, and even more so the recordings that you'll hear in this series, you'll hear my phone just lights up, where God is giving me a confirmation to point me to a scripture, the Holy Spirit listening to my prayers, listening to my conversation, and then giving me confirmation of a word or giving me that guidance that's promised to me in Psalm 25:12, in John 8:47, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so here we've just heard me say 11:16. My phone just lit up at 11:16. So I went and found the scriptures, Job 11:16. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Brothers and sisters, I had been troubled for 4 years in the painful suffering of waiting desperately, hopefully, for my apostate bride of Christ to be freed from Satan's grip and to come back into our marriage, to come back to Jesus Christ, to come back to repentance. And as you can tell, there was a tremendous amount of suffering in that. And here it is, God reaching through in this moment. Again, I'm suffering, telling me now in advance, and I have no idea. I have no idea that I am literally only days away from having a life-changing experience. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that I'm only 7 days away. This recording is being made on the 14th. I'm 7 days away. I'm not going to give it away, but in 7 days, notice that everything's being done already by time. You hear me saying 10 days. Wait until you hear some of the dates. Wait until you hear how significant it is that we had our Skype call on the 13th of April. Everything is designed and laid out. Let me tell you, when I tell you your mind is going to be blown, you have no idea. I'm not going to give it away. I'm hooking you in here. You're going to have to hear and wait for it just like I did. But we continue to find out every single event is being perfectly timed and designed and laid out as every single major event in my life has been thus far. There's not a single major significant event in my life since I started walking with God that hasn't been done in a specific number of days to the day, all important numbers pointing back to the scriptures and showing over and over again, God did this. You've heard about it. You've heard about the 777-day divorce. You've heard about the 3 major events in my life that all happened 9 months to the day. The 3 most significant events in my life. God orchestrated every single one of them 9 months to the day. You've heard about the fact that we leave India on December 24th, rather 23rd, America date, 2016, and you've heard about how 40 months later to the day, my now ex-wife P walks out the door of this house. You've heard about how the first day she no longer lives with me full time, as her husband was 7 months to the day that my 18-year-old son became living in my house full time with me. You've heard about how God used Laura, the placeholder in the series Trusting God in the Wilderness, 40 months to the day. Brothers and sisters, you haven't heard anything yet. Wait until you hear what we're going to discover in this story. And so watch this. Here it is. God makes my phone light up at 11:16. You heard me say it. I didn't know what the scripture was. And here it is, a promise from God. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Brothers and sisters, just weeks later, it has already happened. This promise has already been fulfilled. It is unbelievable how my wife and I look at our pasts, even though we know from recalling memories that it's there, it's as if in our soul it has been erased. I'm having some of the most incredible experiences I'll tell about later in the series, where I'm able to hear about her ex and past and things like that, as if I'm listening to somebody tell a story about somebody else's ex. It's as if he doesn't exist to me, and it's as if for her, P doesn't exist. It is absolutely a miracle of God's grace, and it's a prophetic fulfillment of this promise. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. This is in the Bible for a reason, and the Holy Spirit gave it to me that day, and I'm telling you now, it is true already. May the Lord God bless you as you continue to listen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm still so hoping, you know, that my wife, but it's like right now, all these thoughts come to you. She's been waiting 11 years. Are you going to want to end up waiting 11 years like that? What if you have to keep, you know, waiting? What if it never happens? You know, you've been talking about New Zealand all those years. God would show you New Zealand. And now here's a woman who basically she's in personality wise, she's more quiet, but yet she's got a great sense of humor. And she's not interested in all the worldly stuff. She never was, even as a kid. She never felt she fit in with everybody. You know, she has all this faith in God. She's gone through some serious suffering. And so I look at this and I go, oh my goodness gracious. You know, God help me, Father help me. And I just had said, the last thing I want to do is find myself, you know, being tempted right before Persis comes back. And so I have to face it. I'm going to turn this recording off now and just go back into prayer and give this to the Lord. But you know, you wonder, I'm like, God, why are you know, allowing this to happen? But I know why. This God, he tries our faith. He tests us. And God knows I would not fall for somebody who is obviously just an enticement of the flesh. He knows that. And I was so fine until I had that dream last night. And you know, you're inclined to ask the question, okay, well, it was not an inappropriate, it was not an X-rated dream. The Lord prevented me from having something like that. And it's this kind of sweet, humble, like I say, kind of needy, romantic, like, you know, two people really lonely, desiring to be with each other and kind of acquiescing to the reality of the situation that they've both lost their loved ones and they want to both be loved and be in a relationship together. And it was more of that kind of a sense. And you could see that that's the kind of dream that would leave me questioning, is that from God? Is that from devil? Is that from my flesh? You would think a devil dream would be, you know, clothes are flying off and this crazy stuff, X-rated stuff. No, I wouldn't fall for that. And I used to realize, like, these dreams I would have about Laura, I believed they were from the Lord. And they were, none of them were inappropriate. I mean, think about it. Would the Lord actually himself give you an X-rated dream? No. And I never had any inappropriate dreams about Laura. And yet God used her as a placeholder until he brought along Persis. So this is what I really believe, is I have to fight this temptation. And this is one of those just kind of last minute temptations, and God is allowing it to be a highly qualified spiritual candidate, a sister of his, that he's allowing me to have this with. And the spirit or the flesh was activated, and I don't mean sexual flesh like that. Obviously there's attraction there, but what I mean is that those desires in my nature, the desire to have companionship, to have a wife to put hands on and hold and hug and so forth and so on, and be with and talk to and look in the eyes and actually physically be there, you know, that you can hold on to somebody and touch them. And I think that that's that desire in me got stirred up by that dream, and I've woken up and I now have to pray, God help me. I'm not trying to do this on my own, but I have to pray, God help me to get out of this and not cut my sister off, but ask God for more grace to be able to continue to love her. And I thought to myself, this is another one of those instances of where, you know, loving somebody will cost you. You know, me having to love somebody that could very easily meet a wonderful desire I have, and by myself putting myself down in that or denying myself in that, that's a sacrificial love to this person. To love somebody else, not just a wife, not just a husband, but to love other people, to give something away. So I need the Lord's grace for that. Praise the Lord. It's now 1 p.m. and this is remarkably timed. I've never seen anything like this happen before. 3 hours ago, so probably just before I started making these recordings about what happened last night, a guy who has been commenting named Brett. He sent a comment last night on my recent video saying that he had given up on me a while back. I've unfortunately doubted a lot after the ministry fell, but thankfully I believe this fully again, even though she isn't back yet. Speaking of Persis, I see that this is from God. It has definitely been used to test my faith, and God has used it. So anyhow, I replied to him that I was so thankful and so forth and so on. He replies back, da 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 da. He says, you know, I had a dream just last night, and I know this is from Satan, that you were committing adultery. It's so funny how predictable yet persistent the enemy is. Now, look at this. If this guy only knew the recording I just made about Satan coming to me last night and giving me this dream. But I replied to this guy, and I wrote this, which is true. This is really important. I wrote to him a story of how Satan's always been accusing me of adultery. And I told him the story of Donna Hotz at Starbucks and my ex-wife and so forth and so on. And then I wrote at the end, I said, and brother, if the full biblical truth is understood, it's not even possible for me to have an affair. I have a wife who willingly left and willingly told me to find someone else to marry. She also left me as an unbelieving spouse, and 1 Corinthians 7:15 clearly says I am no longer bound to her. A marriage covenant is broken when it is broken in the eyes of God, not when it is dissolved by a piece of paper by a godless government institution. The same is true of death. A person is dead when they die, not when you receive the death certificate. Nonetheless, I have chosen to stay in this marriage. I am choosing to stay in the bondage of my love to my wife, and Satan hates that, so the poor guy, all he can do is falsely accuse. Remarkable timing. I mean, that's amazing that Satan gave a guy a dream, and I see how the Lord would use that, letting me find that as even extra motivation, and to see Satan is really after me. He really wants me to fall, and all he can do is just falsely accuse. So praise the Lord. Michael commentary. So brothers and sisters, I hope you find this a very interesting and challenging recording that I've left in here on purpose, because there's a lesson in this for me and for you. And so here is the idea. Most of the time when you and I step into something, more often than not, people will get ahead of God and step into a trap door that Satan opens up for them, right? This is kind of a known principle that a lot of teachers have taught for years. And so oftentimes we'll get ourselves into a job, a relationship, a ministry, a friendship, anything. And we believe because the door opened, oh, this is of God. And we step into it and you get your head knocked off. This is the exact reverse of the situation, because now, as you know, I'm standing in the very relationship that at that moment in these recordings, I was convinced there is no way this could be of God, that this dream I had. Now, look at the principle of this. I want to point out that as of right now in these recordings, I do not yet have the spoken word of God on this. It is incredibly important to point this out. I'm only able to gauge this situation by the circumstances. Brothers and sisters, I've said it many times before. I'm going to say it again. I have been wrong in my ability to try to understand what God was doing many, many times throughout all these years, in spite of the fact that my life is full of answered prayers and amazing prophetic deliverances, I've often wanted you to know along the way, I'm wrong many times in my conjecturing. Here's one of them. We are so often wrong in the stories that we write. Look, just because I'm walking with God and by the power of the Holy Spirit and because I'm walking in holiness and obedience and faith, it does not mean that I've lost the part of me that can lean on my own human understanding, make judgments by what I see or by what I hear, and come to an incorrect narrative. I'm doing it right now. In this recording, not right now as I'm making the commentary, but in the recording you just heard, I'm making my own judgment, watch this, based on what I have seen with my eyes and heard with my ears. Notice that God has not yet spoken to me in such a way that I'm aware of it. Now, the 11:16 lights up, okay? But I'm not aware of what God's speaking, and that's just going to be the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be a lot of speaking, but watch this. I am not willing to consider any possibility that P is not going to come back. Notice, I have death gripped this as a promise. I have not allowed anybody. And when you see this, please let me say this ever so respectfully. My wife is truly the most beautiful woman I have ever seen inside and out. I had just had a 2.5 hour Skype call the day before with the most beautiful daughter of God I had ever seen in my life. Now, when you see her, you're going to see, wow, brother was not exaggerating. I was not willing for the most beautiful woman I've ever seen to be detoured in any way from what I had believed was God's promise. And you remember, I've already included in the previous episode that my now wife's testimony was she saw when she found me on Skype that I had a picture of me when I was single. And yet by the time we get to the Skype call, I went on and put up a picture of P and I as a barrier. You remember, this is her testimony. One day you'll see her say it with her own lips. Okay, so it's so important for you to understand all I'm doing at this moment is capturing my feelings. And my feelings are not the facts. They never have been. I have been wrong in my feelings huge amounts of times. Hundreds and hundreds of times throughout my whole walking with God, I have made so many conjecturings with my very clever and active mind, and I'm wrong. Okay, so Michael, get to the good point. What's the point of this? What are you trying to tell me? What I'm trying to tell you is that, brothers and sisters, I say this with all humility before our God in heaven. I'm always right in the end because I wait for God's guidance or for Him to act in my behalf. Isaiah 64:4. I do not take action on anything until I am absolutely certain I have heard from God. Watch this. Not just that the circumstance is open. This is a really good lesson for a lot of people to learn that you notice, even Brother Michael, that even though God is, yes, opening this door and the dream is clearly from God. And by the way, this will be confirmed by a dream that she even has that you'll find out about later. Okay? So watch. God is doing this. God is connecting she and I. There was that incredibly awkward moment at the end for a reason. The dream followed for a reason. And the battle is fighting in my mind for a reason. Perhaps even God is testing me to see if, like Lot, that I will choose something by what I see with my eyes or hear with my ears. God has opened up a door, but He hasn't yet told me to walk into this. I am still obeying in the face of such tremendous temptation to think these thoughts towards this sister about her being a potential wife. I'm facing tremendous temptation. And what do you hear me saying? I'm resisting it. This has to be of the devil. I'm holding on to God's promise. I am 100% committed. I am not turning to the left or to the right. He knows I am stubborn. Look how long I held on to the 40 months to the day for Laura. No matter what woman, no matter who it was that brought the woman, no matter who came in front of me, no matter how much I was enticed, I was not willing to move off of that promise. I do not move until I know I've heard from God. Now watch, the greats that have already gone home they taught this principle here, and I want you to see how this applies because it applies to your life. These are not my words, these are theirs, and they belong to great men of God like A.B. Simpson, A.W. Tozer's mentor. Okay? Here's the thing. You never move forward until these three, a trinity of circumstances, are in alignment. Here they are. Number one, the inner witness. The sense inside that you are to move forward or to move backward, whatever it is. To do something or to not do something, there has to be an inner witness, a sense of peace. Clearly, at this point, I do not have the inner witness. Pay attention to this, okay? Number two, the word of God. God's written word to you. God's written word in general, or God's word by him guiding you to a verse of scripture that corroborates the inner witness. For example, if God was telling me to go marry a woman who just left her husband because she didn't like his cooking, well, this is a complete contradiction of what the word of God says. So I couldn't move forward in that, even if I had a quote inner witness, which I wouldn't if the Spirit of Christ is in me. I may have an inner witness from the sinful nature, but not an inner witness from the Holy Spirit, right? So here's an example. I've said that this is a lawful potential union between myself and this woman. Both of us have been divorced in accord with the reasons that Jesus Christ said were lawful, even unto the Jews. And I am not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Acts 15. I've never been under the law of Moses ever. Nonetheless, both of us would still be qualified under the teachings of Christ and under the teaching of the law of Moses in the event of an affair or in the event of 1 Corinthians 7:15, abandonment. This would be a lawful union. All I have to do is let go of what God has told me to hold on to, a promise for P to come back. All right. The third thing is the circumstances. And they always taught you never move forward until all three of those are in alignment. The inner witness, the word of God, and the circumstances. You never move forward. Now, the greats all follow this Trinity principle, these kind of three legs on a stool, these three pillars of moving forward in faith, walking with God. Now, watch. I don't have the inner witness. I have a word of God, 11:16 Job, but I don't know it yet. So I don't actually have the word of God yet. The only thing I have right now in that recording is the circumstances. The circumstances have opened up. Okay, it worked out to me to have this Skype call. The circumstance was, at the very end, there's something incredibly awkward that happens. The circumstances are, she's absolutely gorgeous. The other circumstances are, her heart is filled with true faith that's been proven over 11 years of self-denial, cross-carrying, world-hating, life-losing Christianity. And now we have this other circumstance where a dream is given to me, which really paints a picture in my heart of my heart's desire towards somebody like her, okay? And then the final circumstance is I have this dream that really paints a picture of my heart's desire to have like this with her. Now, no inner witness, no word of God, only circumstances. Shall I move forward? Yes or no? No. Am I convinced? Am I convicted on my faith? Have I been holding firmly to God's word and resisting anything? Yes, I have. All the way to the end, I'm still convinced P is coming back. P is coming back, okay? Very well, this could be a test. Again, Lot was given the opportunity to go wherever he wanted. And Abraham said, you pick wherever you want. And the Bible says that Lot chose by what he saw with his eyes. He saw that the land was beautiful and fruitful. And he chose by what he saw. Abraham chose by what he heard from God. He waited to hear from God. Now, in this instance, I want you to see this. This is really important because you're seeing a reverse example of where most people get into trouble. Most people get into trouble by getting ahead of God. And they step into something that is an open door that they're convinced is from God, okay? Instead of, and it being actually being of Satan, and they don't have the inner witness, they don't have the word of God, and turns out it is of Satan. And they step into it and it's a disaster. Here we have the reverse. This is actually of God, brothers and sisters. You'll be convinced, if you're not now, you'll be convinced after we get through the story, and you'll see that God begins to give me the word and he gives me the inner witness and the circumstances open up even more, okay? You're going to see that. But right now, I'm thinking this has to be of Satan. This cannot be of God. because I have been given a promise and I'm waiting, and this has got to be a delectable, delightful, this has to be an angel of light. You know, Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and I'm not saying that she was, but the circumstances felt like there's no way this can be of God because he's told me to wait, and here we are just 10 days. Brothers and sisters, this is of God, but he's going to make me wait, and he's probably testing me again to see, will I just instantly grab because the pain relief desire was so strong? And I don't. I don't. I put this down, and I'm going to continue on believing, but in just 2 more days, 14th, 15th, 16th, on the third day from the day I made this recording, God, on the way to Austin, Texas, is going to begin to give me his word. And he's going to begin to tell me to let go of P. It's incredible. But in that moment, I will not dare move. This cannot be of God. It has to be of Satan until I hear from God. And then when I hear from God, the Holy Spirit gives me an inner witness. The circumstances are already there, but I'm not moving forward. Remember again, without the inner witness, the word of God and the circumstances. Brothers and sisters, if you would learn to do this, if you haven't already, this could save you eons of spiritual death in your life that literally ends in spiritual death. I mean, God can redeem it all, no doubt, but it can end you from having to step into counterfeits, into Satan's trap doors, or into any kind of nonsense that the Lord would not have you do if you would just simply wait for him. Again, I cannot make this point clear enough that what you hear in this is me being wrong. I'm wrong because I'm judging by what I see with my eyes and hear with my ears. Did you know that in Isaiah, it says of Jesus Christ that he would not make judgments by what he saw with his eyes or heard with his ears. He was only willing, if it's Christ that says this, by the way, how much more should I? He's only willing to make judgments based on what his Father told him. You see the principle. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only that which he sees his Father doing. And the Father makes known to him everything that he's doing. Now, it's the same way here. I was not willing to move forward until I have that inner witness, the word of God, and the circumstances, this Trinity situation, you know, all three legs of the stool, all three pillars, if you will, of walking with God by faith were in place. And instead, I'm wrong. I'm wrong because I have no word of God at this point. I'm having to conjecture based on circumstances and based on the past word of God. You know, all these promises, I won't be put to shame. He's going to deliver me. Blessed is the man who perseveres, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a resurrection. A wife of noble character will be your husband crowned. Wait until you see my wife. P was not a crown on my head. She was for a tiny, tiny bit, but then she completely rejected it and dishonored it. Oh, wait until you see the crown that God has given me. It's incredible. It's amazing. But do you see this? It's so important. I was wrong, but there again, I'm always right because I wait for God to act in my behalf. I wait for God's word. Very, very important. I pray this blesses you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that you're going to be really blessed as we continue to move on. And you get to see how this story so quickly develops and how God so quickly turns the situation completely around. May God bless you as you continue to listen.